Good morning. I'm going to have three short readings of Scripture this morning, and the first one is found in Luke chapter 2. I'll give you a minute, if you brought your own Bible, to look that up. Otherwise, if you're using one such as I have in my hand, you can find under a chair somewhere near you. That is on page 1027. I'll give you a moment to find that. Luke chapter 2, we'll read verses 8 and 9 before we move to Matthew chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Moving to Matthew chapter 2, on page 966. We begin by reading verses 1 through 3. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And then the first part of verse 11 reads this: On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today.
Good morning. Pastor Kevin is away on vacation this week, so again, I'm it. So it's a privilege to be here. I'm Tara Swist. I'm the Children's Ministry Director here at Raymond Baptist Church, and I'm going to lead us in prayer this morning. So if you'd bow your heads. Joy to you, O Lord. For you have stepped into this broken world to shine your light into the darkness. We thank you for being the light of the world, but even more than that, we give you praise and adoration for being the light in our lives. Lord, may we shine brightly and bring your light of hope to our community, not only within these walls, but to step out in faith and to trust that you will lead us to those who need the truth of Christmas. We thank you for your faithfulness, that you provided a Messiah to set us free from our sins, that we confess to you now. Lord, may we live life expecting it to be filled with you. May we seek you like the wise men who obediently followed the star to worship the Savior of the world. May we take delight in the beginning this year, refreshed and renewed by your word. Draw us into a relationship with you so that we may walk in your light, grow in your word, and bring others to you so that they too can anticipate eternity with the great I Am. We pray, Lord, for those amongst us who need healing for their body, soul, or mind. We pray for peace for those who mourn and grieve during this holiday season. We pray for rest for those who are weary. We pray for those who are hungry and thirsty, not just physically, but spiritually. Help us, Lord, to minister in your name. We thank you, Lord, for receiving our worship through song, prayer, and service. We pray for the tithe and offering that it be used to further your kingdom throughout the community and the world. We thank you, Lord, for the message from your word that we will hear today. We pray that our ears will be open to hear from you, that our minds will be cleared of any distractions, and we will be emptied of ourselves and filled only by your Holy Spirit. We pray for your instrument, Frank Reynolds, and the wisdom you have given him to bring forth your message today. Move through this church in a powerful and mighty way, we pray, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Frank Reynolds is our guest speaker today. He is no stranger to here. We enjoy having you come each time. And he is from Candia. And he is a retired pastor, but he currently serves as a missionary in Africa. So thank you for coming, Frank.
Well, Merry Christmas. It's great to be here with you today. I don't know about you, but I was prepared for yesterday and the freezing rain and the wintry mix and the ice on the driveway, but I was a little bit surprised when I got up this morning. Somehow I missed that forecast, but here we are. And it's great to be with you here on December 26th, the day after Christmas. Now, I think we all know the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Well, I have created a different version for you called 'Twas the Day After Christmas. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the town, the churches were open, but attendance was down. Everywhere you looked, gift wrapping was scattered, but it seemed a little more sleep was all that mattered. Then I remembered that night long ago when angels sang to a few shepherds below. Then the few worshiped in a cave without pews and became the first to announce God's good news. The good news of Christmas is the birth of the Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. But some of the great scenes of Christmas come after the birth, both immediately after the birth and maybe several months after the birth. Centered around the Magi, this morning we will contrast and then contemplate a few of those scenes after the birth of Jesus. Number one, first, contrasting the Magi and the shepherds. There are two groups which have captivated the imagination of millions for over 2,000 years. One group is the lowly shepherds. And the second group is the wise men coming from the east. Our Christmas cards and hymns are filled with reminders of both of them, and yet they are so different. Only Luke gives us the details of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 14. And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Oh, how I wished I could have been there for that scene. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." Now, before we point out the contrast, let's take a moment and get the setting. We have a modern-day picture, somewhat modern-day picture for you, of what is called the Shepherd's Field just outside of Bethlehem. Yep, there we go. Myra and I stood in that field in 1995. And There were several highlights, a lot of places we went. We saw a lot of rocks in Israel, but one of the highlights was to be in the shepherd's field and just to contemplate and wonder about that night when the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of Jesus. I wished I could have been there on that first Christmas night. Bethlehem is 2,543 feet above sea level, about half the depth of the Grand Canyon. It's a pretty significant drop-off. Bethlehem was about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, but it's 98 feet higher than Jerusalem. Bethlehem was rich in biblical history, but it was uniquely known as the town of David. Justin Martyr, the second century historian, tells us Jesus was born in a cave. Today, a cave in Bethlehem is presented to visitors as the birthplace of Jesus. Now, there are several caves, so we're not quite sure if that's the one, but that's one of them that is presented as the birthplace. The room had not been vacuumed. No soft, comfortable crib. No soft mattress for the newborn. But young Joseph had done the best he could to secure some kind of shelter. Just a teenage boy, a teenage girl, alone in a cave with animals. No nurses, no doctors, just two teenagers. Mary in labor and Joseph doing the best that he could. In my mind, I picture three events happening simultaneously. Now, we're not certain about the third one, but if it wasn't simultaneous, it was close to it. The birth of Bethlehem, angels appear to shepherds, and a star rose in the east. Now, for a quick contrast, and just to be clear, we are pondering this morning. The word will come up again in a moment. It is easy to go through a busy Christmas and never pause to ponder. And we need to stop, pause, and think about what happened on that first Christmas night. The angelic announcement of good news was not given to the noble or pious, but to workers with a low reputation. Jewish literature ranked the occupation of shepherd as among the most despised of that time. But Jesus was to identify himself with this occupation when he called himself the Good Shepherd. First, we will contrast the lowly shepherds with the highly respected, the wise men from the east. We can't say for certain, but surely God wants us to ponder the difference between these two that came to worship Jesus. God is not concerned about high or low occupations or a person's status in life. God invites all to come, but he does require humility. Here we have two very different classes of people, but they both came in humility to worship the King. Let's finish the scene. Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and what? Pondered. She pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, briefly, we're going to consider a second contrast in this story. Number two, contrasting the Magi and a king. This is a very different scene. In Matthew 2, 1 through 8, "And Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. They had the immediate answer. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He wanted to know the time. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him,'" he wanted to know where, "'as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" Herod inquired from his own wise men, the priests and teachers of the law, "Where's the Messiah to be born?" Then he inquired from the wise men from the east, "Where and what time did this star appear, announcing the birth of this king? Now, when you find him, let me know so that I can" what? "So that I can go and worship him." His words were right, but his words were filled with hypocrisy. The Magi and the king both sought the location of the child. The hearts of the Magi were pure in their desire to worship. The heart of the king was filled with evil. I can't help but think about words we hear in the 21st century from leaders around the world, and actually not just the 21st, but in any century. The contrast between people like the Magi and King Herod continues today. Often the words sound good and pure, but some words come from pure hearts, and similar words come from hearts filled with hypocrisy. That's the world that we live in, and that's the world that Jesus was born into. A few verses later, Matthew lets us know that Herod's heart and intentions were evil. In Matthew 2, 16 through 18, "When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders." I want to make sure my grandchildren are downstairs. There are certain stories and words in the Bible that are only for the more mature ears. I have a little granddaughter. She had a birthday yesterday. She's 5 years old. Isaiah. Isaiah is pronounced like the Isaiah in the Old Testament, but it's a Basque word, which means wind. And in Spain, some of the girls are called Isaiah, spelled with an H to begin with. Well, my little Isaiah, she's not totally innocent all the time, but she has a pure heart. And there's certain stories and things that she sees on TV that distress her significantly. And so for smaller children, I wouldn't read this story. But for us this morning, this is a part of the world that we live in. King Herod was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now God is not surprised by the Herods of this world. And the Herods of this world will not block God's plan. Evil will occur in the world that we live in, and it occurred when Jesus was born. But it will not block what God intends to do.